Hi, this is Nick Hood. Thank you for listening to this audio boo. This week I'm thinking about a little parallel I think I've noticed between good business sense and good teaching. The parallel is in where the business places the customer. I've had a couple of experiences of business over the last couple of days in the motor trade. And a couple of shops or garages that I've been into recently have given me quite a range of experiences, some of which are going to cause me to return to the store. Some of those are going to cause me to avoid that store at all costs in future. And it comes down to this. It comes down to the attitude that the people that are working with you, that work for the business, it's their attitude towards the customer. Those businesses that have made me feel good, that have made me feel that I'm getting value for money or good service, those are the businesses that I will return to. An example I gave, I was thinking of this morning, was I popped up to Farmers. Farmers is a local tyre and exhaust centre, really, but they do other stuff. They do maintenance and servicing, and they change my tyres over in the winter and the summer, that sort of thing. All very, very good, all very customer service, very customer-centred in their approach to service. And the simple incident this morning was I've got a bit of the smell of burning fuel in the car, and I'm going on a long journey, and I wanted to find out what that was, thinking it was something to do with the exhaust. But the guy I took it in this morning without any appointment, having spoke to them on the phone yesterday, and the guy said, no, bring it in, we'll have a look. And he's had a look, and he's identified very quickly not only is that a fault that in the engine that could be fixed, but it's a fault that he can't fix economically, so he suggested that I go to the Mercedes dealer to get this addressed. And it's taken him 15 or 20 minutes of his time. And when I asked how much I owed him, he said nothing at all. And when I tried to slip him a fiver for his time and effort, he flat refused it. He said, no, don't want it, thanks very much. He said, look, I'm paid from 10 till 5 on a Sunday. He said, I'm already getting paid for what I do. You're a good customer. He said, I don't think you need to be, you know, slipping me money. Although he was very grateful, but let me keep me fiver. And I thought, you know, brilliant service, brilliant customer service. A well-known high street motor trade chain that I won't name, gave me a different service yesterday when I went to buy a pair of driving gloves. And I had this feeling of utter contempt from the guy. Like I was a moron, like I was an idiot. Like I should know that that's the sort of thing that they don't stock because it's part of this Christmas stock list. Now, how he imagined I would know what's on his Christmas stock list, I have no idea. But he treated me with substantial contempt and disdain, enough to make me so cross that I walked out saying, I should tell you what, I won't be going back in there. I won't be revisiting. Because he's not served my needs. He's not given me the best of my intent. If he had thought just for a moment about what my needs are, he might have at least told me no different information, but he might have at least spoken to me in a way that didn't make me feel like a complete and utter idiot, or treat me with such obvious contempt. The process is what's in his mind. The stores, the inventory, what the store rules are, what his stock model is. All of that is information and process and structure around his business and his perspective of the business. Whereas the guy at Farmers was thinking very much not so much about his business, except in the wider sense of, if he puts me at the centre of his thinking, he knows that he's going to give me good service and I'm going to go back time and time again. And the amount of revenue and profit he's going to make out of me over a period of time, substantially more than if he had treated me like some kind of idiot that didn't know what he was doing. Well, there's a parallel there, isn't there? If you're planning lessons, if you're planning activities, and I've seen a number of teachers teaching and planning and getting ready to go into schools and plan activities for children in the area of science, the ones that have got it right, the ones that have put together something really creative, really well crafted, those are the people who have sat down first and thought of the child at the centre of their planning. They thought of the child's perspective first. What is the child going to be doing? What is the pupil going to be learning? How are they going to be learning what it is that I hope that they'll learn? And how am I going to get them involved in that? How am I going to make sure that I understand what it is that he needs or she needs, and that I'm going to make sure that I make that child gets what they need from my lesson? Whereas the weaker ones have all thought about process. They've thought about the planning, ticking the boxes. Have I got this? Have I got that? Have I properly cited the outcome from the curriculum? Those are the ones who are thinking about teaching themselves as a teacher in the school, in the context of a curriculum. And their approach is very much teacher orientated. So an interesting parallel and worthy of thought, I think. Those of you that are experienced teachers hopefully will recognise and know that what makes you a good teacher is when you have met the needs of the children effectively, when the children have told you. And therein is a secret. If you find out what the pupil's voice is, if you find out what the pupil voice is saying, if you find out how they think of you as a teacher, then you'll go a long way to making regular improvements in your practice. The reflective practitioner is a phrase that we've heard about quite a lot recently. One of my colleagues, Pete Tarrant at Edinburgh University, in fact had a book published this week on reflective practice, and it's an area that interests him. And the reflective practitioner is something for me that is has been a feature of, I think honestly all of my life. Before I became a teacher, I was a reflective practitioner. I used to sit and review and think through, maybe with a coffee or a little quiet space somewhere, just to think and review about the review of the week and think about the highlights and the lowlights and consider what it is that I can do better, what it is that I could do with a bit of hindsight next time I come across something similar to that, how I could have done it better. And that is putting service at the centre, the objective. In industry, it's about meeting the needs of the shareholder. And you meet the needs of the shareholder by providing maximum profits, and you provide maximum profits by getting, particularly if you're in a business that lasts any length of time, by getting people to come back time and time again with a positive outlook and a positive experience that gives you this want to go back to that store. Or the next time you think of something that store provides, you'll go to them first, give them the first chance to serve you. And I think that teachers must be the same. I think that if you're giving children the want to come into your classroom because they know that at the heart of your planning, not that they're particularly aware of the detail of your planning, but they certainly will be aware of the effects of it, if they recognise that at your heart of your thinking is them and their interests and how they feel and how they develop, then I think you'll have been doing a good job of teaching. What do you think about that? Teachers out there, if you've got any ideas about whether or not you think that the child at the core of your planning is the best thing, how do you reconcile that with the pressures that you feel in the day-to-day environment in a school? I'd appreciate your comments. As always, thanks for listening. This is Nick Hood.